If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
The team tackle the fan's most improbable myth. Could a skydiver whose parachute fails to open hit a playground seesaw and send a small girl flying?
Jumping off a bridge, you see the ground coming up at you. You see everything rushing up.
And he's not very reusable at this point because he's...
No, he exploded into like a million blue pieces.
Who are the Misfits? Carrie Byron, Tori Belleci. Together, more than 20 years having fun together.
Hey, Mythfits, and if you really want to support us, join the Mythfits channel. Be part of the band of Mythfits. Just push the little join button and you get 2 bonus episodes a month. You get your content early, you get it ad-free, and...
Do it. Get weird with us.
And I think the next episode is part 2 of our AMA.
And then you can find out why Carrie stroked Jamie's mustache. Why are you doing that, Carrie? I like it, but...
That's quite a tease, Tori.
Don't stop.
I know that we were going to talk today about Seesaw Saga because we had been discussing like some stuff that we had seen on the internet. And I actually found a video from when Stella was visiting MythBusters when we were doing Seesaw Saga and we had the little parachute man, which is basically like you've got these little G.I. Joes on these plastic parachutes and you chuck them up into the air. It's like a classic kid's toy that is still very relevant. I love that thing. And the parachute takes the little guy slowly to the ground. And I have a video of our cameraman playing with Stella. Do you want to see it? Just for like a memory?
Oh my gosh, that is so cute.
She's got a tiny little MythBusters t-shirt on and our cameraman is throwing the parachute man up over and over. And I'm just like, oh my God, I remember when she would come to the shop. It was super fun and everybody would be like, they'd all take care of her. They'd all take turns playing with her.
She's so little. How old is she now?
17 going on. Holy 40. She's
time flies.
Also, she's a genius and the most beautiful, funny girl in the world. So obviously, we make good children.
But didn't you say once she doesn't have to be smart? She's beautiful. Didn't you say that?
Oh, I remember I made a joke in front of an audience. And
did I hear that somewhere? Hey, did I hear that somewhere?
I made a joke in front of an audience and it landed just like a lead balloon. It was so bad.
I did hear that right. You did hear that. They're telling me
she was
the producers in the booth. They're telling me that you did say
she was very, very little. And they're like, oh, what do you hope your daughter grows up to do something in STEM? I'm like, it's okay. She's beautiful. She doesn't have to try that hard. And it was a joke, but the whole room was like, ooh, and I'm like, I'm joking.
Well, you guys, if you are listening, we are going to go deep on the episode Seesaw Saga. There's so much. I haven't watched that episode in a long time. And it was one of the rare times when Jamie and Adam and then the Build team worked together. So we all tackled a different aspect of a certain myth. And the Seesaw Saga one was one of those kind of just, it was epic proportions, the amount of steps and the things, the engineering that went into testing that myth. looking back, it's like, how did they let us do it? How did we come up with all those ideas? I mean, it's rewatching that episode blew my mind.
And the reason is because lately on my social media reels, I have been getting all of these things about playgrounds and how different they look now from how they looked when we were kids in like 80s, 90s era. Like the playgrounds used to be way more dangerous. In my hometown, I remember, first of all, a giant seesaw, which my daughter has never seen because this playground has now. I took her back there to be like, there's a playground, there's a train, there's an airplane you can jump on. There's like a merry-go-round. I took her back and the entire thing is like soft rounded corners, soft ground to fall on. There's nothing that spins. The seesaw is gone. The giant airplane, because there was a bomber they had filled with cement and kids could climb on it. It's like there's a fence around it now. You can't climb on it. You could just look at it. And I was like, oh my God, kids aren't allowed to get hurt anymore. Like, how are they going to learn? How are they going to learn?
Totally. Now, if anybody listening is from Monterey or grew up in Monterey in the 70s and 80s, there is a park called Dennis the Menace Park. And there's actually a Facebook page dedicated called I Played in Dennis Menace Park and Lived. And there were so many dangerous aspects to this park that you look back and go, how the hell did my parents let me go do this? And our parents would just let us go. They were like,
oh, yeah,
all right, have fun. We're going to be over here. Don't get killed.
I called my sister this morning to talk about it. And apparently that playground for me is magic. For her, holds a little bit of trauma because I was the older sister.
What's the name of the park?
It's in Oak Meadow. Dennis the Menace sounds like much more menacing than Oak Meadow Park in Los Gatos. But there was a couple things in that park that I guess I would push my sister so high that the chain would go slack on the swing, but like I never would slow down. Apparently, I would make her lay down on the merry-go-round and spin it so fast that she would fly off of it. And that was the goal. And I would make it go too fast. And she'd be like, Carrie, stop. And of course, I didn't stop because I was very jealous. She was very cute. So I was going to torture her until, you know, an adult. And then the seesaw itself. This is what I was thinking of when we were doing Seesaw Saga, was so long and big that if I, you know, being heavier, put all my weight down and decided I'm not going to let go, she'd just be stuck in the air, crying, let me down, because she couldn't jump off. She was too scared because that's how big it was.
So it wasn't really the park that was dangerous. Right. It was her older sister who was an evil.
Carrie's dangerous. Older sister. I was dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
Well, we've gone back to the park since with my daughter, and you're right. Like, they've kind of put soft stuff down. There's no more like hard concrete on the ground. It's all that rubbery stuff. But there is this one spinning, it's like a giant cage that you climb into and it spins. So you can hang on outside. You can go inside. And so I put my daughter on this, and somebody was just like, moving around. This was 2 years ago. So she was like 3 years old and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden an adult comes over and just starts whipping it. It's all whizz, whizz. And I see my daughter slowly sliding to the edge, about to fall off and get thrown from this thing. And I'm running alongside it, and she comes out, and I literally dive and catch her, and she's laughing. So I'm like, okay, she's fine. But I wanted to strangle this guy. I'm like, dude, they're not just like, look at the kids on this ride. Like, you are, you're a danger, and I'm going to,
wait, did somebody alter it? Because I've seen those things, and I've, you know, even when my kid was littler, they're so heavy, I couldn't get it to go fast enough to terrorize anybody.
No, these things, if you start getting them up to speed, because they start building momentum, they're so heavy. And this guy was just like, wing, wing. And I was
he's going to
kill you. My daughter almost flew off this stupid thing.
I pulled a couple fun clips of people doing things on seesaws and such. And
let's see him.
Show this one. Okay. Talking about your kid getting whipped around.
I love that so bad.
Here's a nice old school whipping around and an ending where they got just tagged in the nuts on another piece of equipment.
If he had let go at any other point, I mean, that's impressive. It's almost like he planned it. Oh, that's awesome. All right. What's the next
one? Okay. So the next one is just a pure example of if that adult that messed with your daughter had the merry-go-rounds of our youth, they used to go so fast and you could whip a child off of it. Like, you could get yourself vertical holding onto a merry-go-round. If you could just get it fast enough, you could actually Superman off of it and then get it some nice grass or sand or tan bark just, like, scraping your body. But, like, yeah,
Those kids, 80s those wild. Those kids are getting airborne.
This is what I remember merry-go-rounds.
That's so nuts. Like, they're hanging on for dear life. They're literally, their legs are up in the air.
I've got, you know what?
that kid got tossed. Oh, look at that. Yeah, this is the guy that I wanted to kill.
Yeah, the guy pushing the merry-go-round until the kids were airborne. Kid is,
she is holding on and her legs are flying through the air. Oh, wow. That looks fun. That actually looks a lot of fun.
I have proof that we used to ride these merry-go-rounds. Okay, see this? This is the same merry-go-round from that clip of the people just whipping kids off. We could totally do that. That's my little sister and my little cousin. I'm there on the right, all lanky and awkward, as you do. That is the Oak Meadow Playground, and I swear that is the most lethal, awesome merry-go-round. I could whip Summer so far off that thing.
Zoom in on that mischievous grin. Look at.
Oh, you're right. Like, I do look like bad seed. I do look like I'm about to.
Do you remember the end? Do you remember the end of The Omen?
Uh huh. That's the
little Damien turns around and looks at the camera and smiles. That's the vibe I'm getting right
there. That's the face you see right before you go flying 80 miles an hour straight off a merry-go-round.
All right, you got any more?
Yeah. Well, I've got a clip of a seesaw fail.
Oh, dude, is that guy drunk? That dude looks drunk. He couldn't even brace his face with his hands. He just went headlong.
Again. It's a kid's seesaw. They're playing, and then the guy does exactly what I used to do to my sister, which is that, like, suspend her in the air and keep her up there. But he does a face plant down because they're way too big for the seesaw. This is just a seesaw fail.
Dude, that guy's, look at him.
And there's the sound his face makes when it hits the seesaw. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Anyway, that's what you get when you look for playground fails on the internet.
Well, any playground is safer than having a skydiver whose parachute doesn't open land on a seesaw that a kid is sitting on. And that is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be breaking down that myth.
Stick around, guys. We're about to go deep into Seesaw Saga.
Hey, Mythbits. You know what summer means to me? Freedom. Especially when I was a kid. Not having to show up to school, get to do whatever I want, only have to be home by dinner time. And that is why we are excited here at Mythbits to be sponsored by Mint Mobile, because it allows you to have freedom from your mobile service. And as adults, summer still means freedom thanks to Mint Mobile's summer sale. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. We love affordable data plans. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text. You can bring your current phone and your number over when you switch. Choose from 3, 6, and 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mythbits. That's mintmobile.com/mythbits. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mythbits. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow down when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device is required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here is the overview of the myth. The team tackle the fan's most improbable myth. Could a skydiver whose parachute fails to open hit a playground seesaw and send a small girl flying seven stories high? A myth so big it took the entire team to bust.
That was my best Rob Lee. Was that good? Did you feel it?
It's great. God, I felt like I was listening
to
him.
You feeling it? You loved this myth. I went back and watched it, and one of the things I liked the best about it is you and Grant were in the buddy zone so hard. This was before I went on maternity leave. You guys had so much fun doing this myth. I think there was a little bit of trauma bonding that was happening. Like, it was when Jamie and Adam asked us to come help them out, you guys got to do the fun stuff.
I think it was one of the few times that all of us worked together. Watching the episode, what I loved about it was, you know, we would always start small scale and then ramp up from what we learned from our small scale. Jamie and Adam did a quick small scale test, but then quickly went to a full scale test where they built a steel seesaw, put a dummy, child dummy on the seesaw, and then Adam recreated somebody falling at terminal velocity by welding a bunch of barrels together, filling them up with water, raising it up about, 20 feet and dropping it on the other end of the seesaw. I love that because it was like straight away they went into full scale test. What would happen?
Yeah, but they did it with a metal seesaw that was like so industrial because they couldn't find any of the old seesaws, the big plank ones that we remember. Mm-hmm. So they just went into crazy Jamie shop seesaw, like out the gate. Like, there is no seesaw that is going to be that well constructed.
But it still failed. The little kid got tossed, but nowhere near seven stories. That's why I love that episode, because it went from a quick little small scale to instantly they're doing full scale and it completely failed.
So this was around 2009 that we were doing this, and it was like the show had been on for a couple years, and we're starting to really get our stride on how we test these things. And it was just such an interesting structure the way that they were doing it, because it was almost like they went straight to like the results just so that they could play with the physics. Like, they got too excited about the science part, and it's almost like they went too hard too fast, because they're dropping these, you know, something giant and metal down onto something that's giant and metal to launch this little girl, which, by the way, do you remember we named her Ariel? Was that after Ariel Tweedo, or was it the Little Mermaid?
No, it was like a Jamie joke in the episode. He was like, should we name her Ariel? Like,
oh, because she's flying. She's flying. It was a pun. Of course it was a pun. I was like, why was the girl named Ariel? That's so weird. That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what I love, they were like, okay, after the first large scale test failed, then we kind of broke up the different aspects of the myth to go test. And our job was to go find out how fast a skydiver is falling if his chute doesn't open. And so this was the first time I had ever been skydiving, and Grant too. I believe this was before we did Point Break.
It must have been after.
If you watch the episode, I'm actually pumped this time. Yeah. I mean, I'm still a little bit nervous, but I remember the first time when we did Point Break, I was peeing my pants. I was like so scared. Where this time, I'm a little bit like more jovial, a little bit more excited about it. But man, it was so cool. And so basically we were jumping out of the airplane with another skydiver to measure his terminal velocity and what would happen if he spread out his arms. And then when he got vertical and he went a lot faster. And I forget what we were looking for, what we were trying to find out is what the terminal velocity of a skydiver whose chute doesn't open to get the strike on the other end of the seesaw.
And also, if you could flap your arms, if you could change your terminal velocity, because I think it was Falling Lawyer early on where we found some information that said the average man is going to fall at 120 miles per hour. That would be their terminal velocity. But I think it was Point Break where we actually tested that with you guys. And then that just became our standard plot point whenever we had a human falling. And we wanted to see if we could change it because then when we were dropping a penny off the Empire State Building, we noticed the terminal velocity would change if the penny, whether it was horizontal or vertical, we could, you know, it was just the average, but we could find out if a man falling, if he would flap his arms, he could slow himself down. If he could go horizontal, if he could slow himself down, like what is the fastest we could make him to get the most impact? And you guys got to go up flying. And I was really, really jealous because this was a period of time where I wasn't allowed to do anything because I was pregnant, but we hadn't said on the show that I was pregnant yet. So you'll notice.
Oh, so you weren't allowed to do anything.
I couldn't do anything.
Like, you weren't allowed to do anything.
No. And we kept hiding my stomach behind things during the episode so you can't see that I'm pregnant and just putting me in the biggest clothes that we could find. Because it wasn't like, I wasn't big enough that it was obvious, but I just look like a little chubby. Just like a little chubby and wearing a lot of baggy clothes. But I remember just being like, I don't want to just stay down here and do data.
Then after that, we were like, okay, like how are we going to drop Buster high enough and still hit the target of the seesaw to get him up to 120 miles an hour? There's just like, it was going to be an impossibility. So we're like, okay, what if we reverse engineered it? And so we came up with this idea about a bungee, but a reverse bungee. So basically you attach one end of the bungee to the target, which is the end of the seesaw. And then you stretch Buster up basically like a slingshot and then launch him right down. And we were like, if we used a big enough bungee, we won't need to drop him from, you know, 1,000 feet or whatever it was going to be, we could do it from 80 feet.
So, of course, you got to test it. So you guys have to go bungee jumping. Another thing, which I wasn't allowed to do, I've done skydiving and bungee jumping in my time before Mythbusters, and I loved it. And I was also pissed I couldn't do that one. Yeah, was that your first time doing bungee jumping?
Yeah. And I hate bungee jumping. Skydiving is different because you come out of the plane and you're so high up, everything seems surreal. It's like looking at a model set, you know, like a train.
Yeah.
Because it's like this, you're so high up, you can't tell that you're falling.
And once you get past that moment of jumping out, like that's the panic moment, is like having to push yourself off. And then once you're out there, it's almost like, it's kind of serene. It's kind of, it slows down.
But jumping off a bridge, you see the ground coming up at you. You see everything rushing up at your body. And it is, I just remember the bridge that we were jumping off of was in Oregon. So we had to fly up to Oregon and you again didn't come because you weren't allowed to jump because you were pregnant. But this bridge, it was like a fire road. So it only had one side had railing. The other side was, there was nothing there. You could just walk right off the road, off the 400 foot drop and into the river. And I was like, I still to this day, my hands are getting sweaty right now. Scared the crap out of me because that's my biggest fear is falling, right?
Yeah.
Fear of heights. So I was hugging that rail for most of the day, right? And I remember Ben Hansen, our cameraman, he had to put a harness on, climb over the rail and climb underneath the structure of the bridge to set up cameras. And he was shaking so bad as he was crawling. And I was just like, dude, I do not envy you. And so once they got set, we got all the cameras set, I was about to go for my first jump. And they put the harness to my ankles. And so I jumped backwards and I would be upside down, you know, when I bungee. And I just remember talking to the producer and talking to Ben. And I said, look, let's do all the talking right now, because as soon as I climb over this rail, I'm not going to be able to focus on talking or you or anything else. I'm going to be focused on making myself jump, because like, I can't think of anything else and I have to do this. And so I'm all holding on to dear life. And I'm like, give me a countdown, 3, 2. And I'm about to launch. And Ben goes, Cuzzy, wait, I'm not in focus. And I went, and I hugged back on the rail. I had to climb back over the rail onto the bridge just to like calm down. I was like, dude, and he goes, I'm so sorry, but I wasn't in focus. I didn't want to have to do it again.
I remember you guys came back and you were telling the story, and like, they, I think it was Grant told me that you were getting mad that they kept trying, that like, that there was too many false starts, and they kept trying to like ask you questions, and you were like, I'm done.
Oh, dude,
I'm done.
They knew how freaked out I was, and so they were playing with me. Everybody else loved it. Grant was like, this is the best. Let's do it again. Like, he had no issues with jumping off.
He no problem with heights, but if fish touches feet, total ninny. Like, we all have our thing.
So weird.
Yours is heights. So weird. His was fish. His was definitely fish.
Speaking of bungee jumps gone wrong, have you seen that one where they forget to tie up a woman to a bungee jump?
Oh, dude, that was making the rounds on social a little bit ago. It's so grim.
God, it's so sad.
They don't attach the bungee. They just throw her off the bridge.
And the cameraman is looking like, is that the carabiner that you're supposed to hook into her harness? Like, you have one job. Hook the person into the harness.
Where
to the bungee.
Where was that happening? Was this some sort of like underdeveloped country or something? Because I can't imagine that they didn't do 100 different checks. Because I remember that the when I was bungee jumping, I was in New Zealand at the pipeline, and it was supposed to be like the second tallest in the world. And I was trying so hard to be brave, and the guys just kept messing with me, and I was just like, "You're gonna double check, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, mate." I can't do a New Zealand accent, so I'm not going to do it. That was starting to be Australian.
Close enough.
It was close enough. But he's like, yeah, you probably came into this world on a faulty rubber. I'm not going to throw you off this bridge on one. I'm not going to tell. Or no, you're not going to go out on one.
Dude, those guys, there's like a YouTube channel of this place that Carrie is talking about, and they just mess with you.
Did you want me to count you down or just go?
You see that? Oh my God, they're so mean.
Cruel. Dude, that would mess with my mind so bad. Just watching that video right now.
Did you get the heart
palpitations? I'm like, oh. It's like, I want to know. 3, 2, 1, go. Not, hey, wave to the camera.
You
want
to know my favorite fact of all time from skydiving? The one that, like, just I remember forever is that it's a myth that a rainbow is just a half circle. That's all you see from the ground. The first time I went skydiving, it was in New Zealand. It was in Taupo. And when we came out, I looked down and I was like, all the rainbows are in circles because you're seeing them from the top. And a rainbow is a full circle. So there's no end of a rainbow. You'll never find the treasure. Myth busted.
So you're like, oh man, I've been looking for that pot of gold for years. And there's no pot of gold.
But I love the idea that rainbows are a complete circle.
Look at
That's
so
pretty.
Look at that, myth fits. You just learned some science.
Science.
Rainbows are circles. But anyway, after we got back from the bungee jumping, we're like, oh, okay, because we were talking to the guy who owned the bungee jumping company, and he can custom make thick, giant bungees. And we're like, do you think you could like help us build one big enough that we'd be able to launch 180 pound dummy into the ground? And he's like, yeah, no problem. But the craziest thing is now we have to figure out how to launch this dummy on a bungee cord, like a slingshot, into the ground, into our seesaw. And we had access to, I think it was Mare Island, and they let us use their dry dock and their crane, their 50,000 ton crane, which they used to build ships back in the day during World War II. And they were like, yeah, this is where they would build battleships and submarines with these giant dry docks and these cranes. And they were like, yeah, sure.
We always talk about this. Mythbusters could never have been made in Los Angeles, Hollywood area.
No way.
Like, we are so specially located in the Bay Area with all of these military bases and stuff, you know, that are abandoned. Like, we had full cities that we could drive around. We had runways. We had this dry dock. Like, we had all of these incredible places that we got to use that they just, if you tried to create that as a set, it would have been way too expensive. Mythbusters could have never been made there. I don't even know if it could be made today because most of those places have been converted into other useful places for real estate now.
Yeah. But this, it still, it had a working crane. And the way we figured it out is, and I watching the episode, it was like, how did we figure this out and build it? Like all that stuff just seems like memories that I'm like, I did that. I forgot we did that. You know, it was like looking at the engineering that we did. It's like, oh my God, I forgot that we figured that one out. We took these giant steel plates that they use to cover on roads when they do road work. And they dig holes. So we stacked a couple of them together, welded them together, put them at the base of the dry dock. And then we welded these clips, these rings to that. And then those two rings, we put our guidelines that went up to the crane. And then the hook of the crane would come down. It would go straight over our target, hook in to the dummy and the bungee cord. And then we had, so basically we had this bungee cord getting pulled up. And when we let go, it would go down those steel cable guidelines right into the target. And it hit the target every single time.
And my favorite quote of yours, because it just, it really brought out your nerdiness. You were diving deep into this one and you just filled it with joy and you're all excited and you go, you know you have a good myth when you're excited about the calibration test.
Such a dork. Oh my God. Nerd alert. Oh my God.
That was awesome. What a dork.
Dumbest quote ever.
The calibration test story.
I'm so excited about this calibration test.
But I'm telling you, this was peak buddy zone for you and Grant. Like, I was kind of out of the picture because I had to keep going back to the shop and doing, like, other things. And you guys were, like, adventuring. You're skydiving. You're bungee jumping. And I'm taking the data. And I remember just being...
taking the data.
I wasn't allowed to complain because I was still not publicly pregnant. But going up and down stairs and being out at the dry dock, I was fat and unhappy. I'm like, this is exhausting. I'm so tired.
But you were building the Simulade, human Simulade. Yeah. We actually didn't use Buster. You guys took a wetsuit and filled it with alginate, which I thought was such a brilliant way to create a human Simulade.
I loved working with alginate because I've used it a lot. So basically, it's made of seaweed. It's completely organic, but it's something that you can do life casting in. So a lot of people do it to, like, you know, you can cast your hand, or I used to cast people's faces with it when I was doing my artwork. And it's the same sort of wet density, and it's going to crush like a human once it hits that seesaw. So I here's a quote for me that I thought was pretty weird. Is I was like, it needs to be all squishy and soft, like real guts. And for some reason, I just look at the camera and I was like, yeah, I know what real guts feel like. I've been on the show long enough. Like, these are the experiences that we have, that we have a special knowledge of things that are not normal. Like, squishy, squishy. Yeah, it feels like real guts. I got to tell you, a pet peeve of mine is if you change insurance plans, all of the doctors that you had before are now, like, out of network and you have to go finding a new doctor. That happens like once a year to me, I swear.
It's so annoying. But guess what? If you stress over a situation like this, stress no more, because we have partnered with ZocDoc.
So we at MedFits, we love ZocDoc because it helps make navigating the healthcare system easier, which is always a chore.
It lets you search and compare local in-network doctors, see actual appointment openings, and click to instantly book a visit.
And what's very cool is ZocDoc is free to use.
We like that. We like free.
Free's the best. Your health matters and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc.
Head to ZocDoc.com/MythFits to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list.
That's ZocDoc.com/MythFits.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. So now we have the human simulate ready to go. We have the delivery system of the skydiver. The other aspect of this myth, which I loved, was Jamie and Adam figuring out how to build the seesaw. And Jamie came up with this idea of using suspension, using cables to suspend, almost like a crane. And in the episode, he talks about, he's all, you have these construction cranes. They have these huge, long telescoping arms. They're able to lift all this weight without bending. And because of that cable that goes from the outside of the arm of the crane to the tower of the crane, that's where the strength is. That's where you're able to get that incredible strength. And so what they did is they basically built like a suspension seesaw. It was two steel girders. They had that rope that's like high stretch, high strength stretching rope. Do you remember what that stuff was?
No, I don't remember. I just remember I thought the design was brilliant because it was like that was the flaw that kept happening over and over. This is so mythbustery. We're like so far from the myth at this point that the seesaw is just completely constructed in a way that it won't bend, it won't break. It looks like two cranes being held up and there's bungee pulling something into it. Like, we're just like gonna replicate this, whether like no matter what, like the physics is gonna work. We're gonna make it work. It was a really, really cool rig.
And Jamie had this 3D program where he could build the seesaw in it and then test how strong it was going to be when you're dropping the skydiver into the seesaw at velocity, terminal velocity. And if it broke in the simulation, then they would just change it. And then they kept tweaking with it, and simulation after simulation, they got it to the point where it wasn't breaking. And they're like, okay, I think this is the design that we're going to go with. And so they built this beautiful chromoly. It was like an engineering feat. Oh, I think I said when they revealed it, do you remember when we were at the dry dock and they revealed it? And I'm like, oh, this is better than Christmas.
Oh my God, I do remember you said that. See, you were in like peak nerd.
Well, it was just, it was
You're
like,
so cute.
It was like we had not seen the development of the seesaw, and this thing was an engineering masterpiece.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. That
was
nerding
so out
cute.
Pretty hard.
The little girl that we were using, they dressed up with like a little wig and they made her into a little schoolgirl. There was something I remember from like when we were doing the crash test dummies that I hadn't really noticed is the females were always just like their bodies were scaled down men bodies. And I for some reason, I've been doing research on a show since then and found out that they actually didn't have female shaped crash test dummies until very, very recently. Like,
that's interesting.
Women had been dying from car crashes, severe car crashes and injuries at a much higher rate because they, when they first started.
Are bad drivers?
No.
I'm kidding, Carrie. I'm kidding. You're
Busted.
A great driver. Women
you just know how to get me. You know how to
women,
get me.
Women are great drivers. That was a joke.
So it wasn't until like the early 2000s that they started using smaller humans to test for women, but they just used scale down men crash test dummies. And it wasn't until like very, very recent. It was like in the last couple years, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Women are shaped differently than men. Like, what?
Duh.
Like they had to round the pelvises out because the seatbelts don't sit the same on us because our hips are
that's
rounded.
Interesting.
And where it hits on our chest is different because we're actually like everything about us is shaped differently. So you can't just use a small man to do that. And they like even the Department of Transportation hasn't implemented a regulation that crash test dummies have to be females yet. Not till 2027 are they going, well, supposedly they're going to actually make it so that when you do this kind of testing, that it has to be a female body and not just a small male body. So we might actually see the rate of female severe injuries and accidents go down in the future when our girls are finally in the driver's seat.
Look at that.
Fun fact. Look at that.
I didn't know. That's... You just taught me something new. I love it. I had no idea.
We have a lot of takeaways from this episode so far. The terminal velocity of a human is 120 miles per hour. Take that to your next dinner party. We found out about female crash test dummies. We turned out that...
bungee jumping is dangerous.
Bungee jumping. Rainbows are circles. And Tori...
Rainbows are circles.
...is at peak nerd during Seesaw Saga. That was his peak nerd era right there.
So now all of us are together. We set up Carrie's
alginate man
filled with alginate. We stretch him up to the top as far as the crane will go. We have the girl on the seesaw, the magic, incredible seesaw, and we launch the guy into the end of the seesaw opposite of the girl. But do you remember? I forget what happens. I think he didn't hit directly because he was so kind of floppy. Only like a quarter of his body hit the seesaw and the girl just kind of plopped to the other side of the dry dock.
And he's not very reusable at this point because he's...
No, he exploded into like a million blue pieces.
It wasn't like Buster where he kind of sticks together. Like Buster was never like the perfect crash test dummy for a lot of the stuff we did because he wasn't made of goo. But he was reusable. Like you could put him back together. Whereas like an alginate man, his head pops off. He splatters all over the place. It's a huge mess.
There was no putting him back together again. Oh, my God. It was incredible on high speed. He shattered into a million pieces. So now we're like, okay, what we ended up doing was getting the inner tube. What we were testing for the calibration test, we took an inner tube, filled it with sand till it weighed about 150, 160 pounds, stuffed that into a duffel bag, and then we brought the hook down, hooked the duffel bag into the crane, placed the girl back on the seesaw, took it up, launched it, and it hit, but she got launched and hit the guide wires.
Oh, and so we
our guide wires actually hindered her from launching. And so we were like, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? And I think what they did is they changed the angle of the seesaw just a bit. They were able to adjust the way that they tied the rope to the two ends so that it was less of an angle. And this time we went again, filled up the bag. Oh, and also the straps ripped. And so we didn't get the full force of the sandbag. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So now this time we're like, okay, this is our last shot. The sun is going down. If we don't get this now, we're going to have to tear everything down, come back tomorrow and build it all. We're just like, let's keep working until the sun goes down.
We really did think that we were going to get it on the first shot. That's why we didn't have like backup alginate mans. That's why we had to that sandbag idea was like, we were there and we had to figure out something on the go. Like we just had to use what we had.
Yeah. And because we knew we were going to be running the calibration tests a million times. So we needed something that was going to, if it broke, we could just redo it. So we had a bunch of inner tubes and a bunch of sand. But so now this time we're like, this is our last go. We got the sandbag with the inner tube in the sand. We wrapped the harness around the whole bag so that it wouldn't just rip the straps off. We take it up. We set the girl. We launch it. And I remember she flew up and almost out of. Did she fly out of the dry dock?
I mean, she flew like more than 13 stories. I'm pretty sure. Like she went like twice the distance she was supposed to go.
Oh my gosh. It was one of those moments where we all looked at each other. We're just like, we just outdid the myth.
I mean, that was pure mythbustery. It was like, there's this story. It's got a grain of truth. And we just like deep dive until it's totally freaking crazy. Like at this point, it's the physics of it are even better than the myth. The story is just insane, the direction that it took, but it's still obviously busted because there's no seesaw that's going to be that strong.
And right. Totally. No, it's, I mean, it was busted on so many levels, but the fact that we were all able to come together and do our part to get this to work and like work and beyond.
Yeah.
I just remember us sitting at the bottom of the dry dock, just in celebration, just like, oh my God, we did it. Right at the end of the day, the sun was going down. We got it to work. I used to love those moments on Mythbusters.
And for some reason, I feel like it was the last day before we went on a break. I think it was right before winter break.
We had to get it done.
So we had to get it done. There was no coming back. We didn't have the dry dock for another day. It had to work. And we got really stressed out at the end because like there's no choice. It just has to work. And when it finally did, all of us, it was like both joy that it worked, but just relief.
Like exhausted. Like all that nervous energy, all that anxiety just goes.
Yes.
You let down. That's awesome.
That was Seesaw Saga.
Going back to that episode, it was like I was just having all these emotions. It was weird. It was like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember, you know, the hitting that problem and solving it. Man, this is crazy going down memory lane.
I really like the fact that we did this episode. We didn't have a guest today. It was very Mythbustery. This one is a gift to the fans, you guys. I personally would like to do this again, Tori. I feel like now that we have dissected Seesaw Saga, I would like to do what Grant used to say his favorite myth was, the homemade parachute myth. So I say next time we dissect that myth, because it has a lot of the same elements that this one did, where it was so fun. It was so Mythbustery. So Mythfits, if you like this episode, I think we're going to do this again. And I would like to propose we do it with homemade parachute.
Yeah, I love that episode. And I love going through, like watching the episodes and then coming on here and talking, because it's just it reminds me of all those little nuances, all those little things that happened while we were making the show. And it's like, oh God, like I look back and it's like, we were so in the moment and so busy trying to get the show done and trying to get things to work that I feel like we didn't really stop and enjoy. Like we had it so good. Like we had such the best job. And like looking back, it's like, I don't feel like I was so focused on getting whatever we were doing to work that we didn't really take
like
a moment
stop.
And go,
take stock.
Look at how cool this
what
job
are we doing?
Is. I know.
All right, Mythfits, if you liked this episode, let us know in the YouTube comments and tell us if you think we should do I want to do the parachute one because it's an homage
let's
to Granty.
Let's do it. That was a great episode.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mythfits, I hope you liked our little dissection of Seesaw Saga as much as we did. That was actually a really fun episode for me. I really liked diving deep into the old days.
It's the deep cut of the episode. It's kind of weird. It's like the emotions coming up as I'm watching the episode and then us talking about it on here. It's like, whoa.
Remember the behind like, the what, scenes and like,
yeah,
put
like,
yourself
what,
back
what
there.
What were you going through? What, you know, like I remember, yeah, it's weird. Anyway, we have a fan question. So this one comes from Argenis Cavedo Music, I think. I'm not pronouncing that right, I'm sure. Okay, great episode. And I think they're talking about the one that just came out, the Ask Me Anything. Was there any myth that you guys did the whole process but never came out?
That we actually went through the whole process and it never came out?
Yes, absolutely. Was there a myth that we completely tested, we filmed, but it never, like, got zero results, so it never saw the light of day? We were trying to raise a car with a squash. It was
squash weightlifter. Yeah.
And so the idea was to find these award-winning pumpkins. These things get to like 1,200 pounds. They're like 5 feet tall. They grow them, you know, it's these competitions, these giant pumpkin competitions. And so the idea was you grow the pumpkin underneath the car, and as the pumpkin grows, it will eventually lift the car off the ground.
It like has the structural integrity to actually lift something that heavy. Nature.
And so
nature is a force.
So we went down to Half Moon Bay, which is just south of San Francisco, where they have this competition. And so we went and bought these seeds. They were like $100 a seed. Or maybe even more.
They take it serious down there. Their pumpkin grower is serious.
I feel like it might have been like $500 a seed. And so we got these seeds. We brought them back to the parking lot, and we had built a garden box. Like it was like a huge, giant box, filled it with soil, put the pumpkins in, started trying to grow them. But
we made a greenhouse. It was back when weed was still illegal in California, but they definitely had some hydroponics. We went to the best urban farmer in quotes that we could find to have like the best grow lights to make it like the best. It was like a disco light. It was yeah. Beautiful. That setup should have grown anything.
But apparently, Carrie and I have black thumbs because our green thumbs were on vacation. We could not get this pumpkin. I think we got it to sprout.
Yeah.
And then we put it into the parking lot, and then we were going to have a car. We would let it grow to a certain point, and then we were going to put the car on top and then see if it grew. But we couldn't even get this pumpkin to grow into a pumpkin.
I mean, we were also having some heat waves around this time, and these pumpkins, I don't think were supposed to be cooking the way that it was very rare. We should have had the same like microclimate that these pumpkins grow in, but the weather was a little wonky. Also,
we have no idea what we're doing when it comes to farming.
We're not good at growing things. We like killed our plants that were on the roof for when we were trying to see if music affected the plants or talking to the plants affected the plants. We killed most of those. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even grow moss. Remember? Rolling Stone grab, there's no moss. Like we tried a couple times. Like we are terrible at growing things.
But it would have been fun to like go down to Half Moon Bay, find one of these farmers and just like put a car on top of it.
Make them
and
do then, it.
Yeah, because they know how to do it. We don't know how to do it. We don't know what we're doing.
Wait, question. If the car's on top of the seed,
how does it get sunlight?
Yeah, it's not going to get any light. Why would that work? Is it?
I think what we were going to try to do was get it to a certain stage where it was like big enough that the leaves would be sticking outside of the car, so it would still be getting sun.
Got it.
But
ambitious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's going to be one of those myths that was going to last months and months to grow,
we'll
right?
We'll do that when Mythbusters gets revamped by Amazon.
Well, remember, I put out a post recently talking about my favorite part of White Rabbit Project was when you and I did the experiment with mind control. And we're in an Italian mm-hmm. restaurant and you had electrodes all over you and I got to control your muscles and spill wine all over you. And we were laughing so hard. The cameraman was laughing so hard. He had to like lock off the camera because he was laying on his side laughing. And I was like, this is what I wanted the whole White Rabbit Project to be, was that one episode. And I made a joke that was like, this is, if Tori and I ever come back, we should just call it Bad Science and just do this. And the comments went bananas. They're like, yes, I would watch the show. So maybe someday, like Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, whoever the powers that be, if they ever want to do a show, that could be it. We could do Squash Weightlifter finally. We could actually revisit the myths that we never got.
Yeah.
We could do the myths that we always wished we could do. And we could just do weird, wild, bad experiments where I get to torture and troll you. You were with me till the end. I saw your face change.
I don't like that part.
But, your face changed at the end of that pitch. Like all of a sudden you're like, yeah, great idea. And no, Carrie.
Yeah, I don't like that last part.
This is, well,
this was fun, Carrie.
Walking down
memory lane, talking about old times. How good we had it. Oh my gosh.
Misfits out there, please, if you enjoy this and you want to support us, join our channel. Mythfits does a channel on YouTube where it's going to be ad free. You're going to get extra content. You're going to get it early. And Tori and I are just going to keep coming back, having a good time with you guys.
Just keep getting weirder and weirder, folks.
Stay weird, Mythfits. See you next time.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.